This is Love Your Work. On this show, we help you make it as a creative entrepreneur, find your unique voice, find the right mindset to succeed, and be the first to capitalize on new opportunities to make a living making your art. I'm David Cadavy. If you want to join us here on Love Your Work every Thursday, please hit subscribe on your podcast app. And if you want to get your free creative productivity toolkit, sign up at cadavy.net/tools. Creative productivity is about mind management, not time management. You have to get into the right mental state to be creative. And you need to have your brain stocked with the knowledge that it takes to solve the creative problem at hand. I believe that creative energy is like the next resource to be managed, at least in this age of creative productivity. Think about the way that we manage time and think about how we take that for granted now. That used to be a new idea. And this is why I've built my own system specifically for managing not my time, but my creative energy. So today I'll be sharing in more detail than ever the exact system that I use to crank out not just the ideas for books and podcast episodes, but to actually produce the work as well. Thank you to our newest Patreon supporters, Kyle Shutter, Sam Global, Matthew Flynn, and Carla. Also, we have a new mini sponsor, Paula Spriggs. Paula, if you're out there, I've tried to get in touch, see what business you want to promote. If you do want to promote a business, haven't heard back, but let me know if you're listening. For now, I'll simply add you to the closing credits, and I deeply appreciate your support, Paula, and I appreciate the support of all of the Patreon supporters. So with the help of those new Patreon supporters, we are now pretty close to a new Patreon goal. Right now, we're bringing in $410 a month. If we just get $80 more per month, that will be enough to cover detailed show notes for the interviews, which is the next goal on Patreon. So right now, we don't have links in our show notes for every little book or article or product that's mentioned in our interviews. It's just a little labor intensive to do that. If we hit the goal of $410 a month, we can afford to hire some folks to listen through the interviews, retrieve all those links, put them in the show notes. So help us hit that goal. Help us get detailed show notes. Start supporting the show on Patreon. And at the pace that we're at, we need roughly 7 new patrons to hit that goal. With a few thousand listeners, surely some of you have been on the fence. You can be sure that you're adding value to the show. And as always, there are a lot of perks for joining, including early access to episodes and a discount on the beautiful Love Your Work t-shirt, the t-shirt that I wear every day. Well, not the exact t-shirt that I wear every day, but, you know, clean, like a new one. That Love Your Work t-shirt, by the way, is available at cadavy.net/store. You can support on Patreon at patreon.com/cadavy. And some listeners have asked, how can they support financially besides through Patreon? I set up a PayPal link over at cadavy.net/PayPal. So you can go to that link. You can contribute on a one-time or a monthly basis. Nabil Aziz, thank you for contributing through PayPal. Mike Naughton is also contributing through PayPal. So thank you, Mike. And because of economies of scale, unfortunately, I can't offer the PayPal supporters the normal Patreon goodies such as early access or office hours at this time. But please know that I appreciate it, and I think that everyone listening appreciates it as well, don't you? Again, the PayPal link is at cadavy.net/PayPal, and you can also find cryptocurrency receive addresses on the show notes at cadavy.net. And I am planning a trip to San Francisco in mid-February, so, I mean, it's next week. I'm working on planning a meetup, and it will be a casual meetup. Like, literally, I'm thinking we would just meet up, hang out, nothing fancy, nothing big, introvert friendly. I'd love to meet some of you, have some real conversations. So hopefully I can find a place that is relatively quiet. So I'm still working on the details of that San Francisco meetup. So if you want to find out the exact details, be sure to sign up for my email list. I will send out the info when I know more. Go to cadavy.net/tools to sign up. You know what I'm excited about? We have a university sponsoring the show, University of California, Irvine's Division of Continuing Education. They have a ton of certificate programs and specialized studies programs available, blockchain technologies, digital marketing, film and media studies, just to name a few. Whatever you want to study, you can do it on your own time. You can advance your career in as little as 6 months. UCI's Division of Continuing Education wants you to know spring is around the corner. That means spring quarter is around the corner. Registration is open for spring quarter. So register. Visit ce.uci.edu. That is CE as in continuing education, www.uci.edu to learn more, which I guess applies in more ways than one. Here is the article. This creative productivity system quadrupled my writing output and helped me publish 3 books in only 6 months. After I emerged from the harrowing experience of writing my first book, I knew I had to do something to manage my creative process. I'm driven to create, but that drive sometimes creates a lot of stress, so I became determined to build a system that would help me produce a large volume of creative work and to run a creative business while also staying sane. What follows is the creative productivity system that I have built and tweaked over the past 8 years. It has enabled me to quadruple my creative productivity, such as I found when I tracked my word output 1 year over another. I haven't tracked my word output in a while, but I'm sure my output has continued to increase. After taking 6 years to publish my second book, I published 3 books in only 6 months. I've also published countless blog posts, and I produce a weekly podcast right here every Thursday without skipping a beat. I've grown my output while managing a chronic illness and living in a foreign country and all of the surprises and challenges that come along with that. It's a freeing feeling to know that you have a trusted system for putting your work into the world rather than allowing it to languish inside of you. Creative productivity is about mind management, not time management. Time management is so integral to the modern world, we can hardly imagine it ever being a new idea. Yet before the Industrial Revolution, few people thought of making the most of their time each day. We were well into the knowledge work revolution before time management became standard practice. The first time management book was The Time Trap, published in 1972. David Allen started what you might call thing management with Getting Things Done in 2001. Just as some cultures only have a few names for colors, despite still being able to see just as many colors as you, just as the Inuit have dozens of words for what you might just call snow, the world around you is full of phenomena to be identified and optimized. Now that everyone already manages their time, what's next? David Allen himself gave us all a great clue when I interviewed him on my podcast. He said, GTD frees up your creative energy. What you do with that creative energy is up to you. Well, what about that creative energy? I believe creative energy is the next resource to be managed, at least in the age of creative productivity. That's why I've built my own system specifically to manage my creative energy. My morning creative sessions help me get the most important creative work done. The main building blocks of my creative productivity system is a habit of creating every weekday morning. I spend the first hour or two of each weekday working on my most important creative project. I choose the mornings for this work for 2 reasons. I'm still groggy in the mornings, yet I have fresh energy, so it's my creative peak. Also, no other distractions have yet had a chance to get in my way. I think of it the way Chicago O'Hare Airport is one of the worst airports in terms of delays, unless your flight leaves early. Then it's just fine. I have a couple of ways of mentally categorizing my morning creative sessions. I've got front burner work and generation work. Front burner work is the project I work first thing in the morning. It's a front burner project. It demands my best creative energy. Then there's generation. As I'll explain in a bit, I categorize my work by mental state. These morning sessions are dominated by the generation mental state. I'm generating the work that will become my final products. Energy cycles help me use my freshest energy. I try to manage my creative energy so that I work like a perpetual productivity machine. Each action depletes one kind of energy while building another kind of energy. This cycle keeps me driving forward. I have my morning creative sessions because that's when I have my best creative energy. In the morning, I have more creative energy. In the evening, I have less. But my creative energy doesn't just change throughout the day. My creative energy also changes throughout my week. On a Monday, I have a lot of creative energy. On a Friday, not quite so much. This is why I also focus my creative energy in the early part of my week. I reserve Mondays for front burner projects. As I shift into Tuesday, I start working on the podcast. I try to do podcast interviews on Thursday afternoons. I save all administrative work for Fridays. In addition to weekly cycles, I also think in terms of monthly, seasonal, and yearly cycles. There are even longer cycles. I find I tend to hit milestones in my business every 3 years or so. Sometimes I recognize cycles on the fly. For example, I may be finishing up a project, or a black swan event may happen in my business, thus prompting me to recognize the beginning of a new cycle. Other cycles are more formal. Here are some things I currently do on a monthly basis. First week of the month, I evaluate book sales versus ad spend in the previous month. Second week of the month, I collect and compile a monthly income report. I begin drafting podcast intros. Third week of the month, I record podcast intros, articles, and sponsorship spots for the coming month. Fourth week of the month, I prepare the coming month's podcast episodes for post-production. I'm also experimenting with a seasonal approach to doing podcast interviews. If I do an interview per week during 2-3 month seasons, I'll have roughly enough interviews for the entire year. March, April, and May is season 1 of podcast interviews. September, October, and November is season 2 of podcast interviews. These seasons account for times of year when potential guests tend to be busy, the holidays, the beginning of the year, and summer. My interview seasons also work for a very important cycle at the end of the year. I try to do very little work during late December so I can return to my work with fresh eyes in early January. I try to allow several weeks to think about how I want to spend my year and give myself time to evaluate my business as I re-immerse in work. If I'm in the weeds, I can't see my business from 30,000 feet. My system creates urgency. There is only now. My cycles are an attempt to reconcile the ebbs and flows of my own energy with the beginnings and ends of projects and the rhythms of the rest of the world. But these cycles have another powerful effect. They bring a sense of urgency and focus to my work. For each block of time that I make it a point to work on something, I also make it a point to not work on other things. So if I get an email from my accountant on a Monday, I will not answer it. I'll use the Boomerang Gmail extension to send it back to myself on Friday. If I need to have a meeting, I will not have it on Monday or Tuesday. My first week of each month, I try my best to not work on the podcast. During the interview off-season, I also try to minimize the time invested in the podcast. By having a clear picture of not only what I need to be doing right now, but also what I don't need to be doing, I make it so that there is only now to do the work in front of me. I find that this kills procrastination and deepens my focus. The fewer things you have to attend to in a given time block, whether that's a day, a week, or a 3-month period, the more you can focus on what's in front of you. The 7 mental states of creative productivity help me make the best use of my creative energy. With my energy cycles and my front burner morning sessions, I can attack my most important creative projects with my best energy and with deep focus. But my business is more complicated than just morning writing sessions, some reports, and prepping podcasts. There is a lot of creative work to be done, reading potential guests' books, listening to other podcasts for research, coming up with questions to ask guests, and prepping books for publish, just to name a few things. Creative work is not procedural. You can't sit down and go through the steps and be done. Through trial and error and research, I've settled on the following 7 mental states that make up my creative work. 1, prioritize. 2, explore. 3, generate. 4, research. 5, polish. 6, administrate. And 7, recharge. 1, prioritize. Establish clear priorities for what work needs to be done and what should be ignored. 2, explore. Collect information in an exploratory fashion that can later be connected to make creative insights. 3, generate. Generate creative work. Deal yourself another hand in the hopes of making creative insights happen. 4, research. Look for answers to specific questions for a creative project. 5, polish. Put the finishing touches on a creative project. 6, administrate. Take care of the details that keep my creative business running, such as reporting, invoices, or paying bills. 7, recharge. Disconnect from work to replenish my energy. Whenever I enter a task into Todoist, I label the task as one of these seven mental states. But by the way, I don't put recharge items in Todoist, though maybe I should. This saves me from having to prioritize on the fly, which, according to neuroscientist David Rock's Your Brain at Work, is the most mentally taxing type of thinking. If I'm in a given mental state, say I've reached a stopping point on a generate session for my front burner project, I can immediately go to Todoist and find another generate task. Yet if I've reached a stopping point in a generate session, I may be too mentally fatigued to do another generate task. I might have the energy for an explore task. I can click on the tag and quickly find explore tasks waiting for me. These mental states have fuzzy borders and may vary for you based upon your workflow. I was surprised myself to find that brainstorming fits better in explore for me than it does in generate. It reminds me to be loose, that I'm not looking for a solution, but rather that I'm looking for raw materials that will eventually make up a solution. And I try to organize my week by mental state. So on a Monday morning, I'll be doing generate. On a Monday afternoon, I'll be doing generation and prioritization and exploration. Then as I move on into the week and get into Friday, then I'm doing administrative work. This makes it easy for me to assign due dates for tasks. I just think of what time of week I would generally work on a task like this one and assign it for then, along with the appropriate mental state label. Hat tip to Ari Mizell on this way of thinking, by the way. I even use these mental states to organize my podcast listening. Having podcast episodes preloaded according to mental state helps my mind be productive, even if my body is busy with something such as cooking. So I use three different playlists on Overcast to organize my podcast listening. There is the Explore playlist, which is generally reserved for listening to prior appearances of upcoming guests. The Recharge playlist is things I want to listen to that don't directly apply to any of my projects. And the Research playlist is for when I know or suspect a podcast episode has the answer to a specific question that I'm looking to answer. The four stages of creativity help me reach creative solutions efficiently. Working according to mental states helps me manage my creative energy, but the four stages of creative work help me understand how the projects themselves progress. Creativity scientists generally agree that creative work follows these four stages: 1, preparation; 2, incubation; 3, illumination; and 4, verification. Preparation, that's learning about the problem. Incubation, that's resting after learning about the problem. Illumination, that's the moment of insight, the aha moment. And verification, that's evaluating your solution to see that it's a good one. Why have seven mental states when there are these four stages? Because these stages are the progression by which creative problems are often solved. My mind, however, doesn't necessarily follow these stages. My incubation on one problem may happen while I'm doing the generation on another problem. Illumination can happen at any moment. It often happens when you're in recharge mode. Yet it's important to be aware of these stages to reach creative solutions efficiently. Look, for example, at how I prepare for a podcast interview with deadlines and mental states. As I'll explain, I use incubation to be more efficient. T equals the interview date in this. And so T minus 21 equals 21 days before the interview date. So at T minus 21, I spend 5 minutes brainstorming my curiosity about the guest. That's an explore mental state. At T minus 21, I also load prior podcast appearances of the guest onto Overcast. That's an administrate mental state. At T minus 14, I spend 5 minutes brainstorming the conversation arc, what I think the conversation might kind of look like. That's an explore mental state. At T minus 7, by that time, I need to have listened to prior podcast appearances in Overcast and gotten those into my brain. That's an explore mental state. At T minus 7, I'm also going to spend 5 minutes drafting questions. That's a generate mental state. And at T minus 0, by that time, I want to have finished reading the guest book. That's an explore mental state. And at T minus 0, also the interview date, I will finalize questions in a polish mental state. Ideally, I have 3 weeks to prepare for an interview, yet I spend very little time writing much of anything. I have a few 5-minute brainstorming sessions spaced a week apart from one another. I then finalize my questions just before the interview. By actively thinking about the interview for a short burst, I make a lot of progress provided I give myself enough incubation time. These short sessions are the minimum effective dose for reaching a creative solution. I find that 3 5-minute sessions spaced a week apart from one another is less mentally taxing and makes good solutions come more easily than if I had tried to sit down and power my way through a perfect list of questions. Since these short sessions are loaded onto Todoist by mental state, I can quickly do them without having to switch mental states in the moment, which would be a waste of mental energy. The alternating incubation method helps me multitask creative projects in a pinch. I have my interview preparation down to a process now, but if I end up in a pinch where I need to produce multiple creative pieces in a short amount of time, I use what I call the alternating incubation method. The alternating incubation method makes use of both your conscious and unconscious mental resources. You can usher 2 or more projects through the 4 stages by alternating which project you're working on. While you work on one project, you're incubating the other project. And here's what that would look like if I were working on both a podcast intro and an article. I would brainstorm the article for 15 minutes with my conscious mental resource. I would then brainstorm the podcast intro using my conscious mental resource. Meanwhile, the article would be incubating. I would then switch to drafting the article while the intro that I had just brainstormed would incubate. And then I would move on until I had done both of them by alternating different steps of the process of one project with another project. And these are relatively simple creative projects that I have a high degree of skill in producing, so incubation can happen quickly. Consider that in his book On Writing, Stephen King recommends novelists to hide their first drafts in a drawer for 6 weeks before looking at them again. The amount of incubation a creative problem needs will vary depending upon skill level and complexity of the problem. Focusing on the big pieces helps the little pieces fall into place. In The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey tells a story about a professor who brings a jar to class. He fills it with big rocks and he asks the class if the jar is full. They agree that it is. Then he pours in smaller pebbles and he asks again, is the jar full? They again agree that the jar is full. Then he pours in sand. Surely it's full now, but it's not. Finally, he pours in water. The professor was illustrating that the big things in your life have to go first. Only after you've concentrated on the big things do you find the room for the smaller things. Since I'm prioritizing for creative productivity, I put that first with my morning creativity sessions. Those sessions are so important and automatic, I don't have to put them in my task manager, much like I don't put brushing my teeth in my task manager. It's around that habit that I place the rest of the system. The attention I pay to the ebbs and flows of my creative energy, the categorization of tasks by mental state, and the regard for incubation, all of those things go around the most important things. The system I follow isn't a hard and strict system. Sometimes I deviate from it, but I'm always iterating on it, experimenting to see what works for me and what doesn't. If you try a system like this, go easy on yourself. Focus on the most important things first. If you can't control your whole schedule, focus on the little pieces of your schedule that you can control. By having a formalized way to think about your creative energy and how you use it to make creative work happen, you'll be doing more work, better work, every day. Is Love Your Work helping you find your unique creative voice? Does it bring you the inspiration and motivation you need to become the creator and human you want to be? If so, please be a part of making this a special and nourishing and thoughtful show. Support the show on Patreon. You'll be an even bigger part of this show than you already are. If you contribute just a coffee a month, you'll be helping support the hosting and production of Love Your Work. Everyone has some unique creative gift to offer the world. Together, we can give people the tools they need to bring that work into the world. The world will be better off for it. Visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/cadavy. This is a different kind of model for supporting the work that you love. The choice is yours. Vote with your dollars, put your money where your mind is, and keep Love Your Work going. Visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/cadavy. As a thank you, you'll get early access, bonus content, and a discount on Love Your Work merchandise. Learn more at patreon.com/Kadavy. That's patreon.com/KADAVY. And if you can't support the show financially, and you've listened to at least 3 episodes, can you do me a favor? Write a review on Apple Podcasts. You can consider it your donation to help support the show. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by our Patreon supporters, such as mini sponsors Roxana Maynard of Agility Alchemist at agilityalchemist.com and Paula Spriggs, and top supporters such as Jeffrey Mason and Vitas Pinkovicius. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Kadavy. The theme music for this show is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Kadavy, Inc.